Cape Talk, Car Talk.
And we stay on the roads talking cars with Chira de Siena of cars.co.za, standing by to answer your motoring questions on 021-446-0567. You're also welcome to SMS your question to 31567 or to leave us a voice note on 072-567-1567. Just a reminder, please don't ask about valuations of a vehicle. If you are wanting a sense of a fair price or you want to get an idea of how much something costs, please either visit cars.co.za for some comparisons or go to the TransUnion website for a bit of guidance there. Anything else, you're welcome to ask about. And before we do anything else today, we have to say congratulations to Chira de Siena, because the YouTube channel of cars.co.za just passed 100,000 subscribers. Exciting way for you to start the year, Chira. Congratulations.
Hi, Pippa. Good to chat to you again. Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for the kind words. We actually, funnily enough, we passed the mark in September, and to celebrate reaching 100,000, the mythical beings that run YouTube send a gift, and it's a gift of a silver play button in a lovely frame with your name on it, and that took 3 months to get here and got stuck at customs, so it was a bit of a delayed. We're actually on 110,000 now, which
fantastic.
Is awesome.
Yeah,
okay. Thank you. So, it's a wonderful gift and a great late Christmas present.
Okay, well, enjoy the trophy wherever you put it, and onward and upward to the next 100,000. Chira, we often get questions about student cars and what to buy for first-time drivers, and that's where we're going to start today, after which I'm going to ask Chira to tell us about the Peugeot he's been driving over the holidays. But so often throughout the year, you send us questions saying, I'm wanting to buy a car for my child, for my student driver, a first-time driver, what should I buy? And we'll get a couple of actual individual suggestions from Chira in a moment. But first, I want to chat to Jeff Osborne, who joins me on the line, the head of Gumtree Automotive and very well versed in the secondhand car market. He's got a couple of tips to share with us specifically for those who are in the market for student wheels. And Jeff, it's great to have you with us. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks so much. It's always great to be with you guys.
Now, I know the kids probably think it's all about the look and the street cred and the color of the car and what type of wheels they are. But seeing as, let's be honest, most of these cases, the parents are going to be footing the bill. Let's talk about the really important stuff, because the car needs to be safe, the car needs to be reliable, and it needs to be affordable to buy and to run. Let's start with safety. Jeff, what's your advice to parents setting out to look for a student car?
Yeah, I dare say you're right. When it comes to the purchase of a car, I don't think it's just the students who are culpable, but everyone tends to lean towards the emotional rationale behind buying a car, as opposed to being sensible about it. And you're quite right. The color and the shape are nice, and the performance are all nice to have. But especially for a first-time car, it's all about affordability and the safety of the vehicle. So our advice from a Gumtree perspective would be to, first of all, look at a car that is affordable to yourself or to the parents, whoever's paying for it, and that it will suit the requirements for which it's intended. And it is far better to have an entry-level vehicle without too many bells and whistles, less to go wrong, less attractive from a security theft perspective as well. And there's a plethora of very good used cars out there, so-called entry-level. They call it entry-level, but today, quite frankly, they have all the bells and whistles of the more expensive cars in any event. But, you know, there was a time when 100,000 kilometers was regarded as high mileage. If you can buy anything, it's around about the 100,000 kilometer mark, preferably slightly less. You've got a car that's got a lot of life ahead of it, but critically important that you determine before buying the car and maybe get an independent source to check it out for you that all the safety features, critical features of that car are as they should be in terms of the condition of the tires and the brakes, and the general safety and roadworthiness of the vehicle is absolutely critical.
Okay. Obviously, reliability, a key concern. As you said, the less there is to go wrong, the less that can break down and leave you stranded late at night where you're at risk. How do you go about checking the service history of a car when you're buying from someone, for example, on Gumtree, where you've got no way of proving too much or knowing the person you're buying from? What's your advice on how to tackle that issue?
A very relevant question. And one of the things we always say, if there is no service book available, simply walk away. Mm-hmm. A car that with the credentials of the car are authentic, there'd be no reason why they wouldn't. In fact, they would want to show you the service record, and that is absolutely critical. Preferably a car that's been serviced by the agents of that particular brand, but there must be a full service record of that car available. It's absolutely essential.
Okay, so looking around and making sure that you've got that service history, making sure that all those safety bits and pieces that you need are there, not being distracted by the cosmetic stuff that might tempt you in one direction. You've mentioned already the less there is to be stolen, the better. Could you just elaborate a little bit there? You're talking about not over-accessorizing the car.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, a lot of students and car enthusiasts are attracted to fancy wheels, very expensive sound systems, and that type of thing. These accessories, as you refer to them, that are also attractive to would-be thieves. Mm. So, and the reality is quite difficult to insure that kind of stuff. So you're going to overcapitalize in any event on the vehicle, but all you're doing is you're perhaps creating unnecessary risk. So start off conservative, start off sensibly, get a car that's going to serve the purpose that you seek. And try and keep the emotion out of it as far as possible.
Jeff Osborne, thanks so much for the advice. Jeff's the head of Gumtree Automotive. Some great advice there on practical things to be aware of if you're in the market for a first-time driver, a student car, as it were. Chiro, we get asked all the time what you'd recommend for a student driver wanting something small, affordable, and manageable that's not too attractive to thieves. Would you like to update your list for us?
I do have a few recommendations. Mm-hmm. Many of them are actually based on the budget car category in our annual Cars.co.za Consumer Award. And those five, and I'll just read them out because I think they're a great selection. The Suzuki Ignis, the new mm-hmm. Ignis, the Kia Picanto, the Volkswagen Up, the Renault Sandero, and the Toyota Etios. Now, I must say I'm not a huge fan of the Etios. But the other four, I think, are very, very strong cars. There are a couple of others I would also look at, and that's the Toyota Aygo and Yaris and the Nissan Micra. For me, I don't think Jeff mentioned it, but for me, if I was buying a car for a young driver or a new driver, the key piece of technology, and I have said this on many occasions before, that I would look for is an electronic stability program, usually denoted with the acronym ESC or ESP. That is the key piece of safety technology which is going to prevent you or help prevent an accident happening in the first place. It helps the driver control the car in emergency situations. So check if your budget car does offer that. If it doesn't, I would say perhaps look elsewhere.
Okay, thanks so much for the advice. So that list of five from the budget car category at the cars.co.za awards, the Suzuki Ignis, the Kia Picanto, the Volkswagen Up, the Renault Sandero, and the Toyota Etios. Thanks for the feedback there. Now, Chiro, let's move on to what you've been driving before we tackle some of the questions coming through. Just a reminder, we will take some calls on 021-446-0567. At the end of last year, you told us you were going to be driving a Peugeot 2008 through the season. What's it been like?
I particularly enjoy it, Pippa, and I wonder if it's just that, you know, when I test cars a lot of the time, I have 2-3, maximum 7 days with them, and this particular car I drove for 3 to 4 weeks, so I really felt a bit of a bond develop. I think where the Peugeot impressed me was build and ride quality. So I know this may sound a little silly, but there's a pothole on the Table Bay Boulevard, which I hit on the way home every day of my life, okay, in different cars each time.
Oh, dear.
And the Peugeot is one of the best cars I've driven to, which handled that pothole. You know, you barely felt it. So the passed the pothole test. The other thing I really liked about it was the boot space. Often in this segment, manufacturers have to choose sort of between rear leg room and boot space. And, you know, you sort of sacrifice one for the other. But the Peugeot easily coped with four adults in the car and had a very sizable boot as well, which was great over the holiday season. As you know, you're giving family a lift and you're carrying a bunch of things to the holiday destination. And so I think definitely one of the largest boots in the segment as well. So from a practical perspective, it did very well. From a fuel perspective, it averaged around 8 to 100, which is obviously larger than the claim for the car, but it's about right for this segment. Mm-hmm. It's very much in line with sort of your Ford EcoSports of the world. And I think it's just it's a slightly more in a sort of a segment of Renault Captors and Ford EcoSports, that sort of car. It's a slightly more upmarket feel to the car. The interior is particularly well executed and well designed. And I really like the addition of Apple CarPlay. I thought that was a really wonderful feature which has been added to the car. So, audience probably wondering about the price.
Yeah.
$349,000 for the one I drove, the 1.2 GT Line Auto. And that is a bit more expensive than cars like the EcoSport, the equivalent coming in at about $320,000.
Okay, we just lost Chiro for a moment. We're going to ask him to walk around a little bit and get back to Amy and see if we can get the clarity of the signal back. But 349,000 Rand was the price on that 2008 SUV he's been driving. Reminder, the number for you to dial is 021-446-0567. You can also do what Stephen has done and send us a WhatsApp to 072-567-1567. Chiro, Stephen is asking, are they bringing out the Suzuki Jimny in diesel in South Africa?
Almost certainly not. No, as far as I'm aware, Suzuki's plan for South Africa or their strategy when it comes to engines for our country is no diesels.
Okay, sorry, Jimny. Sorry, Stephen. Probably not the answer you were hoping for, but there it is. We also heard from Dennis on the WhatsApp, who would appreciate your advice on a small four-door SUV with good ground clearance. He's looking for a manual, non-turbo petrol engine. He's been looking at the Suzuki Vitara and the Ignis, the Ford EcoSport, and the Mazda CX-3, saying the CX-3 looks excellent, but has disappointing ground clearance. All-wheel drive not required, but would be nice to have if it's available. But only the Vitara seems to offer that option. A Terios would have been perfect. Side, what would you advise, Dennis?
So interesting how often the Terios comes up on the show. It feels like almost once a fortnight. And I wonder if pulling out of the country was the best move for Daihatsu. I think he's obviously done his research, and he's just about spot on with what I would recommend personally. Fairly difficult in the segment, surprisingly, to find an all-wheel drive car. Even though they are sort of branded as mini SUVs, almost exclusively these cars are front-wheel drive cars. Mm-hmm. So just sort of, top of mind, I think, is the Vitara. There is an all-grip option, which is probably going to sort of, you're going to get the manual, you're going to get the 4x4, you're going to get the non-turbocharged engine. So I think if you're looking at all three of those characteristics, right now I actually can't think of another car which ticks all of those boxes. So I think that's the way I would go.
Okay, thanks for the advice and good luck to Dennis. Richard is on the line from Deep River. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Pippa. I would like to know from Turo, what's your opinion of 2016-17 Renault Duster and the Renault Sandero SUV? Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Richard. Chiro, what would be your choice between those two?
The Duster is definitely the more capable of the two when it comes to off-road work. It is actually, I'm so glad it's come up, because it is actually a car sort of similar in price to the Vitara, which also actually offers all-wheel drive. The Vitara has a good diesel engine, but the diesel is now offered with an auto box and a dual clutch auto, actually, and I don't like that box at all. It feels very sort of hesitant, and the unit I drove had a bit of a shake on the a rattle on the transmission. So I would go diesel manual if I went Duster, and there is quite a big price difference between the Sandero and the Duster. I can pull it up right now, but I suspect it's somewhere in the region of about 100,000 Rand. Mm. So you're looking at a fair saving if you go for the Sandero, but keep in mind that you're not then going to get the all-wheel drive.
Okay, Richard, I hope that gives you something to work with.
What sort of price are we looking at?
So the Duster range starts at 249,000. And the Sandero Stepway starts at 184. Okay, so not that far off, 60K, I think.
Okay.
Between the two, yeah.
Richard, hope that gives you something to work with. Thanks so much for your call. One last question from the WhatsApp line asking, what is the GWM M4 like for an everyday driver?
The M4? Oh, scratching my head. Yeah, yes, I have driven the M4. confusing name, seeing as you also get the BMW M4. Yeah. I wonder if there was a little legal battle there. I think at the moment, GWM's still sort of in that space where they're trying to convince South Africans to move across to a new brand, and particularly to a Chinese brand. I think the M4's biggest problem is that GWM has launched the Haval brand in South Africa, and in my opinion, the Haval brand is very much superior to the M4 in just about every aspect. that you might consider when purchasing a car. So okay. If I was looking at a GWM right now, I'd actually go for a Haval.
Okay. Chiro, that's where we must leave it for today. As always, great to have you with us, and happy YouTubing on the cars.co.za channel.
Thank you so much.
Chiro de Siena, our motoring journalist, back with us next Wednesday. Remember, you can always send a question in advance by emailing me on pippah@capetalk.co.za.